The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary Magdalene stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned round and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Easter is the greatest feast of our church calendar. Now, some of us may have a great nostalgia for Christmas, and certainly more people come to Mass at Christmas than any other time during the year. But in fact, Easter is the greatest feast day on our calendar. When the disciples went out to preach the faith, they announced what they called the kerygma. And the kerygma, the heart of the faith, is to say Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, has died and rose from the dead. So the resurrection is the doctrine of faith that is critical to our life as Catholic Christians. But there's a difference between the dogma of the resurrection and some of the other doctrines of the faith. Some of our teachings and our beliefs, like the Holy Trinity, do not have objective evidence to them. Instead, we have received them because Jesus has taught these truths to us. But the resurrection is different because the disciples actually saw Jesus for themselves. They saw him, they touched him, they watched him eat, they probed the wounds in his hands and side. And all of this is recorded carefully for us in the gospel, so that your faith and my faith, though not firsthand eyewitness, may also be objective and reasonable and historically based. The accounts that we have of the life of Jesus, the manuscripts of St. Paul's letters and the other accounts in the gospels, they're actually closer in time to these events than most of the other historical records that we have of Julius Caesar, or of Socrates, or of the great pharaohs. In other words, we have more reasonable historical evidence for the resurrection. Now, that's important for us to think of. It's part of God's gift to us. And another part of this gift to us is that the disciples are shown in the pages of the gospel as being very reluctant to believe in the resurrection. They thought it was the story of women. Then they thought Jesus was a ghost, a spirit. They had to be convinced step by step that the one who stood before them was the same Christ, physically and personally, whom they knew and who had been crucified before their eyes. That's important for you and for me. We need to hold on to that because it is a form of evidence that's precious. Now, the second point that we need to take from Easter is that Christ, by rising from the dead, has proven to us that everything that he said during his life on earth and everything that he promised to his disciples and to us is valid. If he can conquer death, if he can rise from the tomb after 3 days, then he can deliver everything else that he has promised. His word is truthful. His power is real. And what he has promised us is that his death would be the atonement for all human sin. And that by rising from the dead, he would not simply prove that he was right, but he would prove to us that you and I can access that life. We can access everything that he accomplished and achieved by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Because though he now sits at the right hand of the Father, he also tells us, I remain with you. I dwell with you. I will not leave you orphans. He remains to us in the sacraments and especially in the Eucharist so that we can have divine life. And finally, he reveals to us something else. By rising in his human body and by ascending into heaven in his human body, he shows the disciples that the body, our bodies, are meant to be part of the afterlife. That our afterlife doesn't change us into something different than we were on earth. But instead, all that makes up the human person that we are, not just soul, but body, will be part of the happiness and the life of heaven. So we believe in the resurrection of the flesh, that our bodies will be reunited to us. If the Lord God could do it for his Son, he will also do it for us. And so what lies ahead of us, though it may be mysterious and hidden from our eyes, is also going to have the continuity and the identity that you and I look for to be humanly satisfied that what is out there, up there, beyond the veil, is going to be truly joyful for us. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And in those very few words, we are promised happinesses that we already know, as well as happinesses that we can only foresee and are foreshadowed to us. Now that's an awful lot for us to take in on a wet March morning when we're waiting for our chocolate eggs and bunnies. But that's why we're here. That's why we celebrate this day, That's why we decorate this church. That's why we sing with such exultation and joy. So during our Mass today, we want to thank God for this gift that makes life different. A gift that makes us different. A gift that has inspired 2,000 years of generous men and women to do wonderful and heroic things. Some of them celebrated in the pages of history, some of them so grand that they have made the church place halos around the heads of so many whom we honor as saints. But we also know, each of us in our lives, that there are hidden saints, men and women whose names are not celebrated in the pages of books and who will never have a holy card created of them, but who lived by great faith and who practiced charity and who persevered to the end and who handed on that gift to the generations that followed them and to the friends that surrounded them. People whose hearts and whose hands were always open and from whom we have benefited. So we pray that we in turn may be people of the resurrection, that we may be joyful with the joy of Easter all year long, just as we try to take the spirit of Christmas generosity into the rest of the year, so we should take the confidence and the peace of Easter into every day of the year that follows. We ask the Lord to bless us and to hear our prayers, to bring peace to our world, and to reign in peace in our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.